May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior, the rock on which the church is built, the rock I pray your life is built. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, your word is strong, your word is powerful, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. We pray this Reformation Sunday that your strong, powerful word would penetrate our hearts, our minds, our very souls this day for faith, understanding, repentance. Give us power and strength to persevere in the true faith. In Jesus' name, amen. An easy question to begin today: where did the Reformation take place? Pastor asked little kids that question. Where did the Reformation really take place? You're probably thinking, well, is this some kind of a trick question from Pastor Buescher? Well, it is trick or treat time. You got lots of treats in Bible class. You might get some treats at the meal this afternoon if you come, and you just might get a trick today. Well, the obvious answer is, as the children said, it happened in Germany. It started in Germany. Come on, Pastor Buescher, Wittenberg, Germany, 95 Theses, October 31, 1517, the spark. And then you think of the Diet of Worms in Germany, where Luther said before all the papal authorities, "Here I stand." Let's stand up and say it for a moment. Come on, wake up. It's Reformation Day. What did Luther proclaim? "Here I stand." One more time, "Here I stand." Now you can be seated. Stand on that rock in your life, and you think of that, that's Germany. And then years later, the Augsburg Confession, that's in what country? Germany. The presentation of the Augsburg Confession. So where did the Reformation take place? Germany. And true. But there's a lot more. Because I asked, where did the Reformation really take place? It didn't take place in the ground in Germany or in some building of stone. Where did it really take place? I suggest the Reformation really took place up there, and it needs to take place in here, and may it take place out there to the ends of the earth. That's the Reformation. First of all, the Reformation took place up there. Before there's ever a Reformation down here, there's a great, great Reformation up there and up there. That's Reformation. The Reformation that happens in God. Before there's ever a Reformation here on earth, there's a great Reformation, a great change in God Himself. And that begins the Reformation. Think about it. The gospel. 2,000 years ago, our God, our holy, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, just, almighty, eternal God, the God who fills the heavens and the earth, our incredible God, our wonderful God, this God of the universe reformed Himself. He changed. Because this God, all-powerful, became a little baby inside the womb of a virgin. This God was born and lay in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Talk about a reformation. Talk about a change. It all happens in God as God becomes man. And there's more. This God-man Jesus was further reformed, or we might say he was deformed. Up there, the cross. Up on the cross, the Holy One becomes the sinful one. Talk about a deformation. The Prince of Peace becomes the pauper of pain and punishment. The Wonderful Counselor becomes the wicked criminal. Jesus, the Son of God, deformed that we might be reformed. That's where it all starts. He's beaten, mocked, spit upon, whip on his back. He's stricken, smitten, and afflicted all that we might be reformed and have a church. And worship God, and worship God, and praise be to God today, and have baptism and communion, the Word of God proclaimed, and the gospel of forgiveness proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Yes, the Reformation begins up there. at the cross. Without the cross, there's no church. There's no First Lutheran Church. And there's no handbells and trumpets and other instrumentalists, and there's no pretty songs. There's no rock on which the church is built. We're just on quicksand sinking quick to hell if we're not already there. There's no forgiveness. There's no baptism. There's no communion today. There's nothing here. First Lutheran here is just a parking lot for something else or some other building here. There's nothing without the deformation of God at the cross. Luther loved to call the cross the blessed exchange, was a term he used. Where God trades places with us, there's an exchange that happens at the cross. Where God takes our sin and God gives us His righteousness. That's a good deal for us. God takes our sin and gives us His righteousness. God takes our hell and gives us heaven. That's a good deal. Very good deal. God takes our pain, our punishment, and gives us paradise and peace. That's a good deal. The great exchange of God and man. God taking all that we are and giving us all that He is. Wow, that's the gospel. That's where it starts. You know, we have a service at 3:30. You're all going to come, right? 3:30, you don't need football. It's lousy anyway. This is a day to celebrate. This is the gospel. This is salvation today. Come at 3:30, have a meal after that. It's a spectacular meal. Pork, sauerkraut, hot dogs, brats, candy, all other types of food. Alice Munsey had about 3 red velvet cakes. I get one of them. All these desserts we'll have. Come and have fellowship and celebrate the gospel. Uncovered. I think of the fog as all the papal errors and heresy. And yet the light of the gospel, we get bust out of that fog. And we have it today. But say you're first in line for the meal. You know, you're kind of devious and you sit in the back at 3:30. And you leave quickly when church is over at 3:30. You're the first in line. You get a big plate full. You got pork on there. You got 2 plates of food. And wow, you're so happy. And then you see poor, starving Pastor Busher at the end of the line. He has an empty plate. He's starving. He's wilting away. He's down at least 50 pounds. He's sweating and hot. How many of you trade places with Pastor Busher? Rocky, you would. And Harriet would. That's about 3 out of about 200 and some, huh? The first probably would not become last. The full would not become empty. And yet an illustration of what our God has done for us. The one who is full becomes empty. The one who is first becomes last. Where's the Reformation take place? It takes place up there in God, up there on the cross. And then, secondly, where's it take place? It takes place in here. In here, in the heart. That's where it must take place. In the heart. Not just in Luther's heart 500 years ago, but in our hearts. And in all the hearts of the people yet to live. The Reformation must take place right here in the heart. It's called faith. It's called belief, confidence. May the Holy Spirit reform me and give me faith. The Holy Spirit takes me who is dead and makes me alive. I am reborn a child of God in baptism. He converts me. He gives me confidence in Jesus. Points me to Jesus. Helps me to believe in Jesus and cling to Jesus alone for salvation. The reformation of the heart called faith, a gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, today has to be more than just about this. The brain. Today's not just looking back 500 years ago and recalling some facts about Lutheran Reformation. That's good to do. Very good to do to recall all of that. But it's not just a history lesson. If it's just a history lesson for the brain, let's all go home and read a book. Get history in a book. This is about the heart. The reformation of the heart. That we believe the gospel. Trust the gospel. Cling to Christ alone for salvation. If there's ever an illustration of how the Holy Spirit gives faith, it is Luther. Luther's a great illustration of how does the Holy Spirit reform my heart? You know, how did Luther go from being a scared monk, terrified of God, to being this man of great faith and boldness? How'd that happen? Is it just Luther's special qualities? He's so smart and intelligent, he just figured it all out. No. Did Luther have a dream where he figured out the gospel? No. A vision. He saw something in the sky in Germany It wasn't just fog. It was something out there, and God told them, this is the gospel. No, it's not. Was it an angel that told them? No. How did Luther change and be reformed? It happened through the power of God's Word. Luther read the Word of God, studied the Word of God. He was a professor. He studied Psalms, Romans that we read from, Galatians, and other books. He studied the Word of God. And in the Word, in his humble study there, in his room somewhere in there in Wittenberg, his office, in the humility of the Word, as a man struggles with God's Word, the Holy Spirit convinced him through that Word. Convinced him and gave him faith, and he was reborn. Not in some spectacular way, but by the power of the Word of God. How that teaches us the importance of God's Word in our lives. How dare we put God's Word second or third over here in the corner? Without the Word of God, there's no rebirth and no faith. How we need the constant Word of God to be sustained in the faith. You know, Reformation Sunday reminds me of another great festival in the church. You know what great festival I think of in the church when I think of Reformation? Here's a clue. Red Pyramids. Very good, Richard. Pentecost. I'll throw you candy after church. Pentecost. Reformation, interestingly, occurs at the end of the Pentecost season, near the end of the Pentecost season. It's in the Pentecost season, though. Pentecost. It's like another Pentecost Reformation, if you will. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. And 3,000 people are reformed and born again and have faith. How did that happen? It happened as a humble man named St. Peter, the fisherman, proclaimed the gospel of Jesus. No dream, no vision, no spectacular miracle. Just humble Peter preaches about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit works through that gospel. 3,000 people are reformed and saved. And now Reformation 500 years ago. You have a humble man, among other men, but Luther, a humble man, not even a good-looking man, not all that charismatic. It's a humble man, an edgy man. Yet he teaches the gospel. The Holy Spirit works in that gospel. And many, many hundreds and thousands believe and are reformed like you and I today. Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. Say with me. Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. We'll see if it happens for you or whether you're too lazy to hear the Word of God coming up here later this fall. You have other stuff to do. There's a third Reformation. And that's the Reformation out there in the world. Up there on the cross, that's where it begins, the gospel. God deforming himself that we might be reformed and hear the heart. But it doesn't stop there. Where I believe and wow, praise be to God, that is great. But now, compelled and moved by the love of Jesus Christ, by the cross of forgiveness, it is done in Christ. I'm saved, sola gratia, by grace alone, through faith alone. Moved and compelled by the love of God, I must tell the world. I cannot keep quiet. My mouth must open. I must go to the world and serve my neighbor and love my neighbor and invite him to church and tell him the good news of what God has done for me. That there might be a reformation out there in the hearts of people too. You know what Luther's favorite Bible verse perhaps was? We don't know for sure, but it's suggested his favorite Bible verse was in Psalm 118. And they're tucked away in Psalm 118, which is probably his favorite psalm, although he liked Psalm 46, from which we get a mighty fortress. Sing that at the end of church. There, the psalmist says, I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done for me. What a great verse. That sums it up. I will not die, but live. Don't stop there. And will proclaim what the Lord has done for me. Say it with me. I will not die, but live. And will proclaim what the Lord has done for me. I can't keep quiet. I want a reformation out there too. It's a great temptation. I'm sure for Martin Luther just to be quiet. He could have sat there in his study in Wittenberg and said, well, I know the gospel. I'm illuminated. The grace of God, the mercy of God in Jesus. But I don't want to make any waves. I don't want to cause trouble. I don't want to get fired, excommunicated. I got the whole Catholic Church out there. I won't say anything. I'll just live my happy life and go on. You know, a question Luther sometimes asked himself was a question, am I alone wise? Luther in his own personal struggles struggled with that question. Am I alone wise? Am I the one that really knows the gospel? Am I wrong and the Catholic Church is right? All these popes and priests and cardinals, are they right or am I right? Am I alone wise? Surely I alone can't be wise. I'm just one human being. So I'll just be quiet and not say anything. And the devil would say that to all of us. Are we really right? Come on, 3/4 of the world doesn't believe this stuff. Are we really right about this Jesus? I'll just be quiet and not make any waves. The devil doesn't mind so much what happens here in church today and this afternoon. He doesn't like this, okay? He hates Christian worship. And he hates singing and proclaiming the gospel and communion. He hates all this. But he can settle for this as long as tomorrow we just go back to our merry lives and don't care about anything except trick-or-treating tomorrow night and Thanksgiving and turkey and Christmas and buying presents and ho-hum. It's all a big Lutheran show for a day, and we move on to the next show sometime. Don't say anything, don't do anything, just go on. I have a challenge today in honor of the 95 theses he nailed to the church door October 31, 1517. I want you to put something on your refrigerator door. Besides the list of things to buy the pastor, okay, for food-wise. I'm not talking about that. I want you to make a list to put on the refrigerator door. You don't even need nails. Just stick it up on the refrigerator door where you see it. And I want you to make a list of people. It doesn't have to be 95 people. It doesn't have to be 75 people, 25 people. At least make a list of 5 people. Here's the challenge. 5 people, first of them. 5 people you know right now that do not go to church, that you wonder if they know the Lord, you're not sure. It might be somebody in your family. It might be a member on our church books who doesn't just come to church very much. A neighbor, a coworker. 5 people you can think of right now that probably don't know Christ, that have strayed. Write down their names. 5 names on that refrigerator door. Pray for those people. Pray and pray and pray for them. Pray that God use you as a Luther to tell them the good news. God use you as a witness. Invite them to church. Invite them again and invite them. Be a pest if you have to and invite them again. And love them and love them and love them and get to know them and care for them. And tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the cross. 5 people. And we can have a reformation here of 1,000+ people like Pentecost. Where did the Reformation take place? It did take place in Germany and spread. But really, where did it take place? Up there on a cross. May it take place in here, in your heart, in my heart. May it take place out there in the world as we tell the good news of what our God has done. Blessed Reformation to all of you. Amen. Let's stand.